So, once again, good evening, and welcome to our midweek Lenten service as we continue with our theme of Unlent. Tonight we're reflecting upon how at times we find ourselves being uncertain about things and what that's like. So I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering our baptism and beginning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Lord, I thank you that you invite us to come and, like Mary sitting at your feet, just come and be with you. I pray you help us to set aside anything else that might distract us or pull us away this evening and just focus. Focus on you, focus on your word, and all that you desire us to hear and to know. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We begin with our opening hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We continue Mark's passion narrative. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in the far country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Our sermon scripture reading for this evening is from Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a feature of Facebook that's called a memory. Namely, it's something that you had posted at some point in the past, and on the exact day, a year, 2 years, 9 years, 10 years, 11 years later, it says, on this day you posted. And I had such a memory on March 8th. It was from 9 years ago. At the time, I had a roommate. I knew that I was going to be going that fall to the seminary in Clayton. And my roommate's dog is there in front of me. I'm sitting on my roommate's easy chair, just petting the dog, having a good time. And I reminisced about what life was like for me at that moment. At that moment, while I knew I was going to go to the seminary, I had no idea what would happen after that. At that moment, I was uncertain if I was ever going to have a wife or kids. At that time, I was still pining after some girl that I had been dating who dumped me, maybe 6 months prior. If you would have told me at that moment that 9 years later I would be happily married with 4 kids ranging from age 6 to 16 months, and living in Eureka, Missouri after having a brief stint in Colorado, I would have laughed at you. There's no way that that is my future. But there was so much that was uncertain for me at that moment. And in truth, much of life is that way, isn't it? There's a metaphor I heard once that I think is pretty apt about the nature of life. Life is a bit like a massive river, and you're traversing across the river on stepping stones. But there's a dense fog going across this river. In fact, it's so dense that as soon as you get onto the next stepping stone, you look back and you can't see the stones that you crossed to get there. You only have the memory of how it is that you got to that stone. And in fact, the fog is so dense that oftentimes you can only see the stone that you're on, or maybe at best, the next stone that you're going to go to. And many times in life, we crave just a little bit more clarity, an opportunity to see just a little bit more of our future. If it were up to us, we'd be able to see all the way to the distant shore, or maybe if instead of stepping stones, I was going across a nice wide bridge, plenty of berth to possibly shift to the left or the right. But no, the idea is, you're on this stone and you fear if you slip off that stone, you'll just get swept away. And in truth, the uncertainty of things could leave us in a place of anxiety. You hear how it is that someone that you love is on their way to the hospital. You know the symptoms that they've experienced, but you're uncertain what it is that they're going to be diagnosed with and what that might mean for their future. Perhaps you took a test at some point in life and failed. And you were uncertain what that might mean for passing that class. Or you have a job where you have a new boss. And you're uncertain what it's going to be like with this new boss, what the dynamics will be for the workplace. You got along really well with that last boss. In some ways, the anxiety might compound even more when it involves having to make a decision amidst uncertainty. You're offered a new job, and it would be a great thing for going up in your career, but it might mean uprooting your entire family. Now, what would that do to the dynamics for them? Or perhaps you have a loved one who's on life support. And it's up to you to decide whether you're going to continue treatment or not. And you're uncertain what is the best way to proceed. So many things in life we are uncertain. What the future will hold, which way to go. In fact, sometimes the anxiety might get so strong for us that we find ourselves being uncertain about God. Maybe not that he's not there, but uncertain, does he care about this circumstance that I'm in right now? Is he alongside me? Is he helping me? In fact, some people get so bombarded in their anxiety over the uncertainty that they find themselves questioning, is there even a God? In our reading for today, we see a father who's facing uncertainty. He has a son who he loves. But somehow, some way, this son is possessed by a demon. And not only does this demon cause his son to be impaired, deaf and mute, but oftentimes it will cause him to have seizures, cause him to go into fire or water, and if the dad isn't there to pull him out, he might die. I imagine it was hard for this dad to go off to work. Want to make certain at all times someone was watching and caring for his son. The text doesn't say, but I imagine the father must have somehow heard that Jesus had cast out other demons. And so he finds out that Jesus is going to be at a distance that he thinks, yeah, I can take my son there. And he goes. But he doesn't find Jesus right away. No, he sees the disciples of Jesus, and there's also some religious leaders there. Now, the disciples have been granted authority back in Mark chapter 6 to cast out demons, and it says that they did just that. So I imagine the disciples, when this father comes up with his son, are certain that they can cast out this demon. But they try. And it doesn't work. Now they're uncertain, why is it that it's not working this time? They have the religious leaders who they're now arguing with about what's going on, and I assume who is this Jesus and all these other things. You have a father who's even more uncertain, what is the future of his son? And then finally, Jesus comes. And when they, that is Jesus, Peter, James, and John, having just left the mountain where Jesus was transfigured, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I believe. Help my unbelief. Almost seems contradictory, does it not? I believe, yet I have unbelief. Metaphorically speaking, we like things black and white. You're either right or you're wrong. You're in, you're out. Either you have faith or you don't. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, this father's cry is a lot more reflective of what we might experience at times. God, we believe you exist. We believe that you have died for my sins. But right now I'm really uncertain about things that are happening right now. Help my unbelief. I appreciate the genuineness of the prayer that this man is saying to Jesus. And the other thing that I appreciate is that, while it's an honest description, I have unbelief, and that's not the place you want me to be, God. The very fact that he says, "Help my unbelief," is an acknowledgement that Jesus is the one who can. A belief that this is where I'm at and this is where God wants me to be, and you can help me get from here to there. And so I think it's a prayer that we all can rightly say at times when we are feeling uncertain, when we're struggling with the fact that we can only see the step that we're on and have no idea how many more stepping stones there are, and if it'll even take us all the way to the end of the river. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe that you are here with me in this moment. Help me to believe that even though I cannot see the future, that you have a plan and a purpose for me, and that you are guiding me that way. Help me believe that you are going to help me to that next step, whenever that becomes revealed by you to me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, we come before you grateful for the ways in which you walk alongside of us, that you give us strength as we need it, peace as we need it, hope as we need it. And yet at times, Lord, our strength fails us. At times we give in to the temptation to worry and to doubt. So, Lord, at those times we pray all the more that you would be with us, that you make your presence known, and that we would recognize how it is that you are carrying us along the way. That we don't need to fear the times of uncertainty or fear the future, but we trust that you provide us with our daily bread and you provide us with what we need for each and every day. Help us to trust your leading and your guiding and to follow exactly where you want us to go. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This too, in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us in worship this evening. I pray you have a blessed rest of your night.